Welcome to the Mind of Money. My name is Douglas Laudmel, your asset protection attorney. And kind of a follow-up on our last one where I talked about year-end tax planning strategies. Tax planning is now the thing. Everybody's talking about it. I haven't heard so much about it ever. I mean, in 26 years of practice, I have not had so much interest and activity around how do I reduce my taxes. Part of that, I think, is an outgrowth of this short-term rental Airbnb bonanza, if I could say it that way, that has come about in this country. So I'm going to start right there. Short-term rentals, and how is this a tax strategy, or is it at all? So let's start with the rules first. If you create a short-term rental, that is a considered a passive activity. And so a passive activity means that any loss that you have in that activity can only offset passive gains or passive income. And what is passive income? Passive income is passive income. In other words, you didn't go to work and earn it. You invested to get it. So rental income is passive income. Investment income is passive income. So these things that are not, don't take your blood, sweat, and tears to do are passive. Now people say, yeah, but actually I do take my blood, sweat, and tears to run this Airbnb. I've got four of them in Orlando. I turn them over every week. You know, we spend $1 million outfitting them with Disney paraphernalia, and I'm in there and I'm making beds and I'm churning them and I'm managing the maids and I'm doing everything. It's extremely active. So can't I use that because I'm also buying these very expensive properties and spending a lot of money on improvements? And actually, if I count depreciation, there's a loss in these properties, which I would love to offset with my spouse's income because my spouse is a dentist and makes a lot of income. And, you know, so I want to offset because I have a lot of loss in these four properties, and I will probably for several years. So the answer is generally no. Unless you meet a certain set of requirements. And these are called the material participation requirements. And basically what material participation means is that you spend either 500 hours a year doing this activity, which is about 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. So if you're spending 2 hours a day, 5 days a week managing your Airbnb portfolio, well then, yeah, I think you'll probably be able to convince your CPA to deem that as an active activity. Then all your depreciation and your Section 179 expenses for your giant Disney statue that you put on your entrance of your home in Orlando could all be deducted, and you could have negative K-1s coming from those entities offsetting a spouse's ordinary income. So fantastic. There are some other rules that you could meet for material participation if you work 100 hours. As long as you work, no one else works more than you. So in other words, if you're the one that's working the most. There's a whole set of these rules, right? And I'll put in the link, a link to some articles on our website and our client hub of information, which is on Zen Guide, and you can read up on that yourself. Now, I want to make one last comment about this real estate thing, because somebody is going to say, oh, but I'm already a real estate professional, so it doesn't count for me. I don't have to material participate at all. I'm already a real estate professional, so all my real estate activities are automatically active. And the answer is not really. When it comes to short-term rentals, the IRS has actually set up a different set of rules. And so even if you are a real estate professional, if you have short-term rentals, it doesn't automatically fall into the real estate professional category. And you still may need to meet these material participation rules. And be careful, if your average rental is less than 7 days, you actually may fall into an active trade or business, in which case you may have self-employment tax issues, just like the spouse who's a dentist has. So this is not just a simple thing. You have to get it right. It's not hyper complicated. You can absolutely get it right. It can be a benefit, but you really need to understand these rules before you just jump in and say, oh, I'm gonna do short-term rentals. The other caveat I just want to say, I've watched this for 26 years now. I've been watching clients and helping clients with all sorts of things. And I know that at a certain stage when everybody is doing it, it's no longer as big a win as it was when it first came out. And I can tell you right now, everybody is doing it. So that tells me that it's getting harder. And I can tell you from feedback from my clients that do short-term rentals, it is getting harder. They are having more, there's less profit in it. COVID was obviously a big disruptor in it. Post-COVID was also a disruptor. It didn't go back to normal in the same way everybody thought it would. So if you're thinking of short-term rentals, just be very, very aware that you need to do your homework a lot. I mean, be very careful, because I've had a lot of clients call me and they were sold short-term rental properties that were told cash flowed, and they did not cash flow, and they do not cash flow. And in some cases, they've had to give them back, and it's caused other financial problems. So can short-term rentals be a lucrative thing and a tax-positive thing? Yes. Is it automatic? By no means is it automatic. So just be careful. Don't just assume. Do your homework. Just like with any business or investment, it's up to you. It's your money. Act like it. Like I always say at the end of the videos. So really, take it seriously. Don't just assume that everything is a win. And again, if you're learning how to do this from experts that are on podcasts, they may be experts and they may be very good at it. But every situation is unique. Every place is unique. And look for the angle. I've got several clients that have learned from experts who also sold the properties, and it turns out that the properties weren't nearly as qualified and as cash flowing as these experts said they were. And so the whole teach you how to do this was really a front for sell you properties that don't cash flow. Just be careful. I mean, you know, you need to be responsible for your decisions around this. If you're a client of Laudmill & Laudmill, of course, call me. If you have questions, we can discuss this. This is absolutely up our wheelhouse. We can help you with the tax considerations, with understanding material participation, just with understanding, is this a good idea for me to do? You know, real estate is a fantastic way to increase wealth and have tax positive depreciation show up and benefit you. However, it's all going to be done with a plan and intentional. And so, you know, You've just got to pay attention to all that. So I hope this has been helpful. And as always, it's your money. Act like it.